Can the dead manipulate electronic devices? Can they reach back through the fabric of time and space from wherever they are and influence the workings of our communication devices, our phones, to leave one last message, to say one last goodbye, 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 goodbye. Fantastic as it seems, the mystery of phone calls from the dead is not an uncommon one. Those who have researched the phenomenon have determined that these calls usually occur within the first 24 hours of the death. But there have been cases in which the calls were received as long as 2 years after the death. The call is usually filled with heavy static, and the phantom caller's voice is faint and far away. Far away indeed. This was an article written by Stephen Wagner on Phantom Phone Calls 3. The story I'm about to share with you is a story that was relayed to me about 30 years ago from my friend Bob. Bob and I were at a party, and we were talking about conspiracy theories, ghost stories, UFOs. And Bob said, you know, I have one for you, and it's from my wife. I said, really? He goes, yeah, you're not going to believe this, but my wife, Rachel, her and her sister haven't talked for almost 15 years. And I said, why is that? Well, Bob said, our daughter, Holly, wanted to go to a homecoming dance. And we just didn't have the money to spend on her homecoming gown. She was disappointed that she couldn't go. So Rachel's sister, Megan, told Holly, you know, I'll pay for your gown. You can go. Rachel's sister, Megan, was very wealthy, single. She might have overstepped her boundaries with Rachel by stepping in and doing what Rachel couldn't do. So Rachel kindly told her that this was between me and Bob. We would appreciate if she would kindly stay out of our affairs. And that resulted in a no communication between the two for 15 years. Well, the one night the phone rang and was Megan. And Rachel goes, what do you want? And Megan goes, you know, I just called to say that this has gone on way too long. And I'm sorry. Maybe I did step over the boundaries were, it was none of my business, but I wanted to help out and let Holly go to the homecoming dance, but I'm just calling to say I'm sorry, and we've wasted way too much time, and so many years over something stupid, you know, and Rachel agreed, you know, and they both are crying, and the conversation went on almost for a half an hour, and they talked about their stories growing up and only things that the sisters would know. Well, the next morning when I woke up, Rachel said, you're never going to believe who called me last night. And I said, nah, who was it? And she goes, my sister, Megan. I said, really? She goes, yeah. I mean, she wanted to tell me the whole story about the makeup the two had. And I said, that was wonderful, you know, wonderful news. And we went on to have our morning coffee, and she was still just jubilant over the fact that she's now can contact her sister, Megan. Well, just a short time later, Rachel's brother, John, knocked on the door. She said, well, come on in, John, have a cup of coffee. John says, sure, but I'm not here with good news. And Rachel says, what's wrong? Some bad news for you. Our sister Megan died last night. And Rachel just collapse. She just went to her knees on the floor. Just, I can't believe this. I just talked to her. A few hours ago. We talked almost for half an hour to 45 minutes. And he goes, well, that's impossible because she died last night around, a little after midnight, matter of fact. Rachel says, that's still impossible because I'm telling you, I talked to her. And he goes, I don't know who you talked to, but it wasn't Megan. She goes, it was Megan. We talked about things only the two of us knew about. We talked about things growing up. And I know my sister. And that was my sister I talked to. He says, well, I have to go and make some arrangements with the rest of the family. I just want to let you know. It turned out that Megan was involved in a car accident almost 2 minutes after midnight. And Bob said, well, let me look at the caller ID, see what time she called. When Bob looked at the caller ID, it just said, out of area. So he just left it at that. It was a weird accident, or they didn't speak much of it after that. And then he went on to tell me, but that's not the end of the story. He goes, the very same night, we're laying in bed, and I hear like something, I just feel something like at the end of my bed. And I'm looking down at the end of the bed, and I see Megan. She's just standing there looking at us. And I was just stunned. I couldn't even tell Rachel what was going on. I just was stunned. And she only stood there like for a minute, and then she was gone. Well, it turns out I never did tell Rachel about Megan that evening. She was already upset, and I didn't want her even more upset for me telling her that. I don't know if it was right or wrong that I kept it from her, but I didn't tell her. And we just left it at that, and life went on. Well, then years later, I was making Ghost in the Valley documentary, and I wanted to contact Bob and just get a few details I might have missed from his story I wanted to add to the documentary. When I called Bob, this young girl answered the phone, and I says, well, who's this? And she says, well, this is Jennifer. I says, and you are, Bob no longer lives there, or? She goes, no, Uncle Bob passed away. I was left the house in the will. And I said, and you are? She goes, and I am Megan's daughter. I says, I didn't think Megan was married. She goes, Mom never was married, but she had me out of wedlock and kept it a secret from the whole family. Matter of fact, nobody even knew I existed. And I said, really? And you are? And I said, I'm a friend of your Uncle Bob. And I was just doing a story on Megan, your mother. She goes, really? I says, yeah, it's a ghost story on Megan and what happened that evening with between your mom and your aunt Rachel. And she goes, well, she never answered me. I said, are you still there? And she goes, yes. She goes, I'm still here. She says, after my mom died, I contacted Aunt Rachel and told her who I was and that I was her niece and I would like to meet her. And that did happen, and we had a lovely reunion. And I got to also meet my cousin Holly, who unfortunately she passed away with cancer just a couple years ago. So she really had no other family members to leave her estate to. Bob was gone, Holly's gone, and now, according to the will, I'm getting everything. Well, after talking with Jennifer, I decided I was not going to add that story to my documentary. I had so many already, and I figured I'll put it into Ghost in the Valley 2, if and when that ever comes about. But getting back to the phantom phone calls, I mean, I had a few of those stories that came in, and I will share a couple more of those with you in future episodes. But I did have a few messages left to me about differences between demons and ghosts. And these messages were to the point there is no difference, that according to the Bible, that everything's a demon if it's not going to heaven, according to the Bible, a ghost is a demon. Let me read to you opening credits to my documentary. The Bible reveals that ghosts are not the spirits of the dead. What many people call ghosts are evil spirits or demons. When they are given permission, they will inhabit people and homes. That was at the beginning at every one of the video cassettes and DVDs that I released. But in the second edition of the DVDs, I actually took that part off due to the fact that after I traveled and have done so many ghost stories that I felt a little different than that, that there was a difference between a ghost and a demon. So, I mean, it's what you believe. Some people believe that orbs, paranormal experiences, phantom ghost calls, ghosts and demons, they're all the same thing. They're all under the ghost category. But each one is different. And once I get into more and more of these stories, you'll see the difference of each one. But I'm very anxious to hear your opinions on this. Is there a difference between ghosts, demons? You can contact me at cooley54@gmail.com. Before I end the show today, I want to read you one more story from Stephen Wagner, taken from the Phantom Phone Calls 3. This story is called Long, Long Distance Plan. I have never been a believer in ghosts, but after what happened to me, I can't help but reconsider my position on this. I made a sales call to Pennsylvania. It started out just like any other call. Yes, I need to speak to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. The woman identified herself as Mrs. Jones, and I continued on with a normal sales call. She seemed very interested and asked a lot of questions, but when it came to the decision-making part, she quickly stopped me, insisting that I had to talk to her husband. Her objections were the same every time I attempted to close the deal. She explained that she had tried to get a hold of him to change phone carriers before, but in her words, he was married to AT&T and refused to make any changes. She also quickly pointed out that since his retirement, he spent a great deal of time fishing and was not easily to get in touch of, and it would be best to try to call early in the morning. She indicated that their long-distance bills were getting out of hand because he made lengthy calls to North Carolina and felt that the plan would be beneficial to them. On that note, I decided that perhaps this was worth a call back, and I told her I would call her husband the next day. The next day, I made a call that I will probably never forget. On the call back, the husband did answer the phone, and I introduced myself in the normal fashion and explained that I had been talking to his wife the previous day, and she had suggested that I speak to him. You can imagine the shock and horror when he distraughtly stated to me, "Lady, I don't know who you were talking to, but my wife died, and I am in no mood to speak to anyone." With that, he quickly hung up the phone. I am Al Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Ghost in the Valley.